This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who continues to be our discussion in these final few ayat of the Quran of Juz Amma, whereby this surah, An-Nasr, one of the only rare Medinan surahs in this collection of 36, 37 surahs, is the only clearest surah being a Medinan surah like Surah Al-Bayyinah inside this juz, whereby this surah is giving a bushra, giving a glad tiding to the believers and specifically to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because in the previous surah, Surah Al-Kafirun, it speaks about belief and disbelief, about what is the right concept of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the end result has to be presented to the believing individuals. لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ بَيْنَ الْبَشِيرِ وَنَذِيرِ. The Qur'an is between giving you glad tidings and warning you. Wherever the Qur'an warns or tells us to stay away, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, stay away from the fire, stay away from sins, it gives us the glad tidings. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, give glad tidings to the believing individuals. And that enticement is the nature of the human being. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. So He knows that the human being needs what they call in the English language a carrot and a stick incentive, needs to be given that. That is not all doom and end for the believing individuals. There needs to be blessings given inside this dunya to encourage a believer to continue the journey, that I am on the right path. That's amongst the ma'ani of guide us, keep us upon the straight path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And all of us know what the straight path is. It's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast. Let us continue that journey of being on the path of al-Islam. Because this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides an individual to al-Islam. And more specifically, ulama begin to dissect it more closer proximity towards the Quran and the Sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this surah gives that glad tidings. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. That when the help and the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, because this is what the believers need inside their lives, that this is towards the end of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imam Suyuti inside his works of Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran, likewise Imam Zurqani or Zarqani inside his Ulum Al-Quran, two volumes, they discuss about what is the final surah of the Quran. And in that is near enough unanimous agreement that the final complete surah sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Surah An-Nasr. These three ayat, this surah, the final surah. He only lived for approximately 80 days after this surah was sent down. Surah Al-Kafirun being an early Meccan surah in the first 2 or 3 years of revelation. Then this surah comes in a chronological order, but being sent down many, many years later towards the end of the 22nd or the 21st year of revelation, towards the end of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That some of the ulama call it Surah Al-Tawdi', the surah of farewell, the farewell surah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this surah gives a farewell reminder to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that there's going to come the victory. إِذَا جَاءَ. Wa Imam Qurtubi yaqul fi tafsiri إِذَا بِمَعْنَا قَدْ جَاءَ. It has happened. Even speaking about the future tense, it's speaking, it has happened. Victory is going to be given to you. And the Quran in three places of the Quran gives the believers this bashara. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَ وَلَدِينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He is the one who sent his messenger with al-huda, with the right guidance and the firm way of life of Islam, deen of Islam, to make it prevail, to conquer, to rule, to overcome all other forms of dayanat, all forms of other religious beliefs or concepts. Is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala three times inside the Quran. Inside Surah At-Tawbah, and that name of Surah At-Tawbah is Surah Al-Qital. So it gives the believers the glad tidings, and it gives the hypocrites, munafiqeen, the glad tidings, that the Prophet ﷺ will prevail, will rule, his deen will conquer and rule over whatever exists on the face of the earth at that time and in the future time as well. Then inside Surah As-Saff, a surah once again speaking about meeting the battles or meeting those individuals who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then for the third time is that Surah Al-Fath, the 48th chapter of the Quran, which has been given the title Surah Al-Fath, with a distinction of that the ending of this ayah ends with وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand as a witness. that Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness that al-Islam will conquer and rule. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inside the Quran, when it speaks about such concepts, la'alla, because loosely in the English language translated as perhaps, but when it's mentioned inside the Quran, la'alla is haqqan, that it is a reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this happen when certain things are mentioned inside the Quran. So this is a glad tiding for us believing individuals that the end is a good ending. There's always going to be blessings of al-Islam. Imam Shanqiti in his tafsir, he mentions, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Victory, this surah is like this verse inside the Quran. What is victory except for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. Allah doesn't say Al-Ghafoor Rahim. Even this ulama have spoken about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses certain names and attributes in certain locations inside the Quran. They should have a profound meaning to study. Why does Allah use Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim? The Almighty, the All-Wise. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. لِأَنَّ maqam, this is not a station of merciful, being merciful to people, being kind to people, overlooking over people. It's a point of establishment. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Victory and conquering and ruling and dominance and power is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one of another mufassir, he mentions out of the Quran, that this concept of victory that we need to remind ourselves is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He wants, wherever He wants, with whom He wants, He will grant victory. Because some of us have become so full of ourselves that we think that victory will come via my efforts or an effort of a certain group of people or a certain type of people. The real inner meaning of this surah, many of us fail to understand and fail to understand what is the concept of victory. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives victory to whoever He wants, whenever He wants. And whenever he feels, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the right time for the believers to be conquering, to be ruling, to be given dominance. But until that moment arrives, the believers continue their struggle. Because Islam isn't a political agenda that some may try to push inside society, or people who speak about revival inside society, that these people, they want rule. The intent of an Islamic government or Islamic scholar isn't to rule. That's not the intent. No one seeks to rule. You seek that people rule by the book of Allah. That's what you seek people to do. That's the distinction. But that's why the non-Muslims have trapped us in ways of mesmerizing our minds, but make us debate amongst ourselves that these people, they want a political hierarchy, or they want to control and dominate. And we forget the crux of the issue. The crux of the issue is, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. الْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ. The rule and governance is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Kitabullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we argue amongst ourselves, the main objective is taken away from us. And that's what happens, the main rule, the main conquering, the main dominance is also taken away from us. By whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until hatta tarji'una ila deenikum. Until you don't return back to your deen. As you find in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, sallatullah alaykum dhullan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down a disgrace upon you and will not lift it until you don't return back to your deen. And inside it mentions three or four different elements. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. You begin to deal with عِينَ, a type of nominal riba, a type of usury. وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ. You take the tails of the cows. وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ. You become happy with cultivation of the land. Meaning this world is all your end goal. And then Allah mentions وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then you leave striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُنَّا لَا يَنْزِعُوا حَتَّى تَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Allah has sent a disgrace upon you. Disgrace upon whom? This Muslim Ummah hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawood. Read the checking of this hadith and expansion of this hadith by the late Sheikh of Al-Sham, Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh. Expanding upon this hadith, that what is the current state or the current crisis of this Muslim Ummah that he wrote some maybe 20 odd years ago. Explaining this hadith in Sunan of Abi Dawood, if I'm not mistaken. So we find that inside this surah, we find this encouragement that the end is a good ending for believing individuals. That if there's not victory inside this dunya, we don't visualize it. So at some moment in time, the victory is going to come. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Ibn Kathir calls this surah, calls the whole surah by its first name, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. That this is surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. This is the surah whereby the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Then they begin to discuss what is the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shanqiti in his tafsir, he mentions this, kullu anwa min al-nusr, all forms of victory. He says it's not just a victory over the sword, over people, it's a victory of the mind, the victory of the pen, the victory of the intellect, the victory of intisharul Islam, the victory of spreading of Islam. There's also going to be intisharul Islam. Islam will spread in society. And that's a form of victory. Because deenul Islam, al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum Islam ad-deena. Min ma'ani of al-Islam, that you find al-istislam at-tam, total submission, total peace, total tranquility, total contentment. That's what Islam is. And the other side that Islam ulama mentions is deenul adl, a way of life of justice, of equity, of fairness, of tolerance, of understanding. That's why don't fall into the garb of these people that they say when Islam says that you amputate someone's hand or you Islam says chop off someone's hand. It doesn't quite work like that. It's a long procedure. Just like they boast about their Queen's Council lawyers and their barristers and their lords and their judges, that we're civilized people, that we study cases and there's a tribunal, there's another hearing. There's no exception to that in Al-Islam. Islam follows a better pattern than that because they took the pattern of Islam. The judge will see the reason why this person stole, the amount he stole, the ramifications around it. And then finally, at some point, the judge may decide that this person needs to face this punishment, a deterrent. It's not all the time. It's not all the time that it exists inside society, inside Islamic society. They try to portray inside the world that this is what Islam is, what they try to harm the society. As you find that many non-Muslims, that they feel that to be under the codification of Islam, they find pleasure in that. They find happiness, they find contentment, that crime rates are low, there's peace, there's tranquility, there's justice. Look at the evilness around us. That the security force is supposed to be protecting us inside society. They can kidnap and molest and harm and kill people. They can even dead bodies, this individual, close to 100 people, dead individuals that he's molested. They are dead in a mortuary. A human being can't even imagine this. That to dead people, to dead girls and dead women, he carried out these atrocities. So is the punishment for this individual just a simple punishment? In Islam, it's a great deterrent to show society that even one case is beyond acceptance inside Islam. To send out this strong message that anybody follows the same pattern, this is the punishment they're going to face inside their society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this glad tidings of giving this glad tidings of a victory. As we mentioned, a victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either a general victory or specifically Al-Fatih. In the 8th year of the Islamic calendar, we find that the conquering of Makkah was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. These 20 odd years of striving and struggling till eventually coming to the point at the end that now victory is given to him. Study the seerah. Look how the victory was given. There was no warfare. There was no fighting. It just became right at the end of his journey that he had done the footwork. He had done the essence of the work of preaching to people, that people knew what Deen al-Islam was. They were at the end. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ الْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. People, as some of the ulama tafsir mentioned, at the edge. They were watching to see what the rest of the Arabs would do. Are they going to follow suit? If he enters as a victorious individual, we're going to follow along with the rest of these tribes. Because over these 20 odd years, it shows that the deen of the Prophet ﷺ is the right deen, is the right way of life and protection. And as you find the similarities between Surah Yusuf ﷺ, the 12th chapter, and the Prophet ﷺ in their seerah, in the concept of their dominance. Look at the journey of Yusuf ﷺ, the 12th chapter of the Quran, 110 verses. Read this surah, see the journey of the hardships of Yusuf alayhi salam. إِنَّوْ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whoever is patient and has that resolve and commitment and fears Allah, Allah never lets the ajr of the believing individuals go to waste. So he had that tedious journey, difficulty after difficulty. And then at the end he's given the glad tidings of being placed as a custodian over Misr, over the treasury. Given that prominence, that dominance. And likewise the Prophet ﷺ, from being an orphan individual, from being expelled from Mecca, being fought against, being thrown out from Mecca, wars, Al-Badr, Al-Uhud, Al-Hunayn, Al-Khandaq, all his suffering, all his torture, till eventually when he returns back to Mecca, what does he say to the people? When I asked him, what are you going to do with us? Do you think the Prophet was like us, some ferocious, vicious people, vile people? We don't forgive, we don't forget. That's not the seer of the Prophet. Many of us have forgotten. You know, many of us have small, trivial things. We don't forgive people. We don't overlook them. You know, they harmed the Prophet. They basically killed his wife, Khadija, making him live in a barren valley. They struck at his cheek, broke his canine tooth. They trapped 70 of his companions and executed and killed them. What did he say to them? لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Same words of Yusuf alayhi salam. When his brethren came back to him, what did he say? Did he say, oh my brethren, you harmed me, you done this to me, you done that to me. He said, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ No reproach, no blame upon you. These are the same words that the Prophet said to his comrades, to his fellow tribesmen. He said, no blame upon you. And then he said to them, اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الْتُلَقَى Go, you are free. You are free individuals. Look at the reverence he gave to Abu Sufyan, this leader who's an animosity towards the Prophet. He said that whoever comes to the door of Abu Sufyan is safe. Is safe. Why? To give him that distinction, that rank, because who sahibu shuhra wal maqam is a person of prestige, of dignity. So let's give him that bit of dignity, that respect that he wants. There's no harm. That's what Islam says, no harm in stepping down. This concept of an egoistic behavior that we have inside our society. The ego, the nafs, is what destroys the individual. Because the ego is also a deity that some of us that we worship. People just think that deity is a grave, a stone, a statue. Study the world at the moment. Those people have an egoistic behavior. They don't worship stones and rocks and statues and graves and shrines. They worship themselves. Because they believe they're all powerful, they're almighty, they're untouchable, unapproachable, unquestionable individuals. So that's why what they do inside society, that's the reason they do it. Because they believe within themselves they're powerful individuals. But they fail to understand the message of what is real victory. This isn't victory. This is a temporary victory. That's what ulama, they discuss in the surah, what is the real victory that's given to the believing individuals. That some of the ulama go to the view, let's just ignore this victory, even the conquering of the Kaaba. The real victory is the victory of oneself, one nafs, one within oneself. That's the real victory, and the victory of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ So some of the ulama say in the tafsir, ignore the victory. What gives you victory? Al-istighfar wa tawbah. That's what gives you victory. Al-inaba ilallah. So they're saying ignore the concept of victory, of being powerful and dominant. Yes, it's important. But there's an inner meaning inside this surah. Why is Allah saying that after this victory has been given to you, al-fath has been given to you, seek the forgiveness of Allah? Why after salah do we say astaghfirullah 3 times? Because the human being is always going to be deficient. The mind may wander. The heart may wander. Life may wander. And as we began with, وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Victory isn't from our own selves. The Quran says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى On the day that you threw, it wasn't you, Ya Rasulullah alayhi salam, that you threw on that day. Rather, we threw, and the dust and the particles went into their eyes and their faces, and it blinded them. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Hunayn, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ You began to become proud of your numbers and your entourage. We're not going to be overcome this day. Not non-Muslim, Muslims. Said that we're not going to be overcome. So Allah placed this form of loss for them to awaken them. To remind us, believing individuals. Kullu shay min Allah. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to just make our efforts that we need to do. So here you find al-istighfar wa tawbah. Imam Shanqiti said in tafsir, he diverts totally and says that this istighfar that we need to do inside our lives is what is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Person may think this is trivial. Why in this location did he begin to discuss about the concept and the forms of istighfar? Because if you don't have the right form of istighfar with tawbah, you're not calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately. You're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately. So your dua, may Allah forbid, not that we hope that for any individual, may not be responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are prerequisites of Imam Qayyim al-Jawziyyah inside his works of dua. Speaks that ad-dua, as-silah. Dua is like a sword, a sharp sword. A sharp sword will always smite, will always strike, will always cut. So how comes our dua, it doesn't strike? Because it begins to discuss that it's to do with the dhira', it's to do with the arm. That the prerequisite of dua, of making wudu in a state of seclusion, devotion, commitment, using the right alfab, the right words, the right pronunciation, the right asking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helps you to strike the sword. And that's what many of us that we're failing, that the prerequisites are missing for even our victory that we dream about, that we aspire about. We have not fulfilled the prerequisites. This concept of istighfar and tawbah and placing oneself in a state of humiliation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah speaks about what is ubudiyah. Ubudiyah is to disgrace yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to subjugate yourself, to make yourself feel lowly in a state of ibadah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the base of this surah, Imam Suyuti inside his tafsir, he speaks about that when the imam, when the khalifa is given victory, and some discussion about the authenticity of these narrations, that the imam is to read 8 raka'at of units of prayer when victory is given to the individual. Shukran lillah. Thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. That this is a victory which has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions, فَيَسْتَحَبُّ لِأَمِيرِ الْجَيْشِ إِذَا فُتِحَ لَهُ. It's recommended for the leader of the army that when lands and buldan, countries and nations are open up for the individual, this individual, and يُسَلِّ فِيهِ أَوَّلْ مَا يَدْخُلُهُ. That the first thing a person should do when they enter into this land, this environment, is to offer the prayer. الشُّكْر لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So you find the importance of making this tawbah and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a numerous ulama tafaseer, hatta you find Umar ibn Khattabi understood the meaning, the real deeper meaning of this surah. So he asked the companions around him, what is the meaning of this surah? فَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ أَنَّوْ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. This is the victory of Allah, this is success of al-Islam. He said, all of this is good. Then he asked Ibn Abbas, Turjaman al-Quran, asked him, what is the meaning of this surah? He said, the meaning of this surah is the demise, is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, that's exactly how I understood this surah. That now that your journey has been completed, victory has been given to you, prepare yourself for al-akhirah. And as you find another place inside the Quran, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. مِنْ أُولَى بِمَعْنَى الدُّنْيَا. That the akhirah is better for you than this dunya. That your task, your mission has come to an end. You know, every day we should think that our mission has come to an end. But even more so, people who hit the age of 50, 60 years of their life, going beyond that, they should have this mission inside their mind that this is the end of my life. Even though all of us should be prepared every single day, but when you get to that age, person should be prepared, this is the end of my life. As they say, let us tie up the loose ends. Whatever needs to be given to people, or wealth, or property, whatever is owned, whatever, tie up these loose ends. And then begin that journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the wise individual. That's what the wise individual who sees that, especially it is COVID, who sees the deaths of people around them and loved ones around them. Person picks up on that and sees that, look, these are loose ends. Not necessarily at the age of that age, it could happen to any one of us. So we all need to be preparing ourselves to this return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir, he mentions that his surah is giving two glad tidings, or two topics are mentioned inside this surah. The first being the glad tiding that this إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ isn't just for that moment in time, it's forever. It's until the Quran is lifted from this dunya that the victory and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. That's what Imam Razi inside his tafsir, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, discuss what is الْفَرْقْ بَيْدَ النَّصْرِ وَالْفَتْحِ. A long discussion he has inside his tafsir was a distinction. But most ulama say both of these are similar. Al-awn min Allah, help and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a victory of Makkah and a victory of Islam. And a second bashara inside this surah, the second is not a glad tiding. It's the first sign of the beginning of the day of judgment. The first sign of the beginning of the day of judgment is the demise, is the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the beginning of the day of judgment. That's awal ishara. As ulama of Ashrab to Sa'a, ulama have collected signs of the day of judgment. That's the first sign. When the Prophet was lifted from this dunya, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. Al-Khitab. Look how the Quran is unique. accurate. Quran says, innaka al-khitab. Kaf lil-khitab. Kaf is speaking. Mukhataba, speaking to someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking directly to whom? He's speaking to the Prophet alayhi sallam. Innaka mayyitun. Wa innahum mayyitun. You're going to die and everyone else is going to die. This khitab should be for us. No one is going to live here for eternity or be eternal or be immortal. All of us have to leave this dunya. So a person should leave this dunya in a state of al-istighfar wa tawbah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that some of the ulama mention that this istighfar wa tawbah, it changes affairs. How do you change your condition? How do you change your life? How do you change your perception? It's by making al-istighfar. The Prophet عليه السلام كان يستغفر الله 70 مرة وفي بعض الروايات أكثر مئة مرة. He used to seek forgiveness 70 times a day. And in some narrations, 100 times a day. Who is that? That's the Prophet عليه السلام. 100 times a day, you used to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in surah, ulama mentioned, يتأول القرآن, that towards the end of his life, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أو أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. He used to become excessive in making this dua of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what really changes you. فَقُلْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Inside Surah Nuh, same message is given. فَقُلْتُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Your Lord said, seek my forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send down the rains and the blessings upon you. That's what ulama have discussed, that the concept of istighfar brings about the blessings. Whereby there's a plague, there's a drought, there's afflictions, adversities, hardships, difficulties. What should we do? We should call upon Allah. We should make tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, at the end of the surah whereby it speaks, إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is كَثِيرُ الْقَبُورِ لِتَوْبَةِ عِبَادِهِ. As we began with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings to the believing individuals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah. A tawbah of the Muslim individual. مَالَمْ يُغَرْغَرْ. As long as the soul doesn't come to the top of your throat, and then you begin to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you believe. وَإِن يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. And some people, when every single sign of Allah is shown to them, لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. They don't believe in them. And we as Muslims, we see these signs. That's why we should be always in a state of al-inaba, al-tawbah, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some of the ulama have spoken that an average individual, we are so bogged down in concepts about other people. We're not specialists. We're not ulama. We're not fuqaha. But we're so bogged down in these intricate matters which are to do with specialist individuals. And I hate to use such words, but we've wasted our life. We've wasted our intellect in just worried about these things that don't really concern us. And in all essence and truthfulness, Allah won't ask us about them. Won't ask us about this. But Allah will ask us about, where is your tawbah? Where is your istighfar? Where is your salah? An average individual, where are you from turning away from muharramat, from munkarat, towards al-mubahat, towards al-halal, towards repentance? Where are you from that? That's what Allah is going to ask us. That's what we fail to understand inside our lives, because this is what the society around us teaches us. As we mentioned, to go away from prime concerns. Prime concerns is قُوْ أَنفُزَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your family members from the fire. And if Allah bestows that ability, then you begin to encourage other individuals. But don't become one who stands upon humanity, stands upon people, judges upon people. It's not upon us to judge. The Prophet had every right to judge. There's so many individuals he pardoned, he forgave, he overlooked. He understood the psyche of the people around him. That's what made him a great leader, inspirational leader to his people. And the Quraysh saw that. That's what at the end of this surah, that's why they said that you are a noble brother, a noble son, a noble clansman. You're a noble, and now you are part of us. He was always part of them. He's always part of the Quraysh. The only thing that made a distinction was al-iman wal-kufr. We are, as we can say, part of this society. The only thing that makes a distinction is al-iman wal-kufr. That's what makes a distinction. Otherwise, living inside the society, a person should be there, giving glad tidings of people of the deen of Allah, calling them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to remain true to the covenant and teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah.